News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
All righty, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Exactly 24 hours from right now. It'll be Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum. And it's brought to you by Bryant Bank. We appreciate everything Bryant Bank does to assure that we can do that every Friday in the fall.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And quite a few big SEC games this weekend, like Oklahoma and Texas, the Red River rivalry.
That will be an SEC game next year.
It will be. So you got that. LSU-Missouri, a ranked game. How's Alabama going to look on the road at Texas A&M? The Tide, a short favorite, even shorter now. They were favored by 2.5 to start the week. They're now down to 1.5 point favorites.
Wow.
You have the what's sure to be a barn burner in Gainesville, Florida hosting Vanderbilt this weekend, Arkansas and Ole Miss, and then one that I bet you might have some thoughts about, Dan, Georgia hosting undefeated and number 20 ranked Kentucky. So looking forward to seeing what Paul Feinbaum has to say about all of those tomorrow.
So I was telling you, to me, and it's like, don't make snap judgments. It's a long season. Teams improve or they get worse or whatever, injuries or young players come along. So you can't just take a snapshot in September and say, this is what we are. But to other Georgia fans out there, you're probably not going to be happy when I say what I'm about to say. But I think Georgia's they're about as good as everybody else on their schedule. I don't think they're 14-point favorites this weekend?
Yeah, 14.5 on our college pick.
I don't get it. I watched Kentucky last week, and Kentucky looks like a better version of Georgia. At least they did in that game against Florida.
Yeah.
So week to week, you know, things change. You've got home field advantage. You have this and that. And I think Georgia's good. I don't think that they're at this point of this season right now. They're not near the team they were last year, and that's pretty much got to do with defense. They just don't have – how many guys did they send to the pros in the last 2 or 3 years?
Oh, there had to have been at least 20-something draft the last 2 years alone.
So it's going to take, you know, who's ever behind them. Their best players are probably younger, so they're not ready to go. And so Georgia, they could lose. They could lose to Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
They could lose to Missouri. They could lose to Ole Miss. I know they're ranked number one, but
they could lose to Tennessee.
They could lose to Tennessee. Yeah.
So anyway,
and I know that sounds like, you know, why is Dan saying all that? I'm just telling you what I've watched and what I've seen. Nothing against Georgia. I love Georgia. I love to watch them win. I just don't think that they're going to be able to go about it the same way. They had some injuries and this and that. And last week, well, look, South Carolina, they fell behind by 14-3.
Yeah.
Auburn, they fell behind 10-0. If there wasn't somebody on the planet named Brock Bowers, they might have lost both those games.
It's very possible. Reminder to make your pick'em picks also going into this weekend. Some tough games there, too. We're all right now trying to catch on the leaderboard Bidenomics Professor, who has opened up a 3-game lead on the field.
Wow.
That's tough.
That is tough.
Quite a few of you tied behind him with 30 wins. Dust in the Wind, GS Engineer, Johnny Karate, and Kenny Zink, and then a whole lot of us behind them. So get those picks in. Still a lot of season left to go in the College Pick'em Challenge.
Speaking of Dust in the Wind.
Yeah.
My apologies.
Yeah, thank you. I want this written. I know you're going to do this on the air, but I need a written apology.
Well, sure. So yeah, you were talking about the dust or the Canadian smoke.
The wildfire haze.
Yeah. So I didn't notice it, or yeah. I don't know why I wasn't aware of it. And I'm outside a lot, so I don't understand what went on. But I was kidding you that it was mostly just located in your yard.
Mm-hmm.
And those were mean words. So when I had an appointment downtown, when our show ended yesterday, and I'm driving downtown, I'm driving directly east.
Into the sun. Yeah.
And there's the haze.
There it is.
So a story from Channel 5, the ongoing wildfires in eastern Canada producing tremendous amounts of smoke, which have reached the Gulf Coast, leading to hazy skies. I do agree with that now. They spoke with a pulmonary physician, Peter Lutz, with Baldwin County Pulmonary Associates, and he said anyone with respiratory problems should kind of take it easy. This was Lutz saying that it could start causing problems for anyone who has any kind of respiratory disease like COPD, asthma, and a lot more that fall in that category, because that particular matter in the air can cause some people to start developing coughs, increased shortness of breath, and wheezing. You've got some of that. Is that related to the haze, you think, what you're dealing with?
I don't know. Sinus? I don't know. I don't think so. I think maybe the change towards fall weather, or maybe it had to do with liquor. I don't know.
Try to avoid going outside as much as possible. Stay inside with the air conditioning, Lutz said, and drink. No, he didn't say that. he didn't recommend that you drink. He said because you've got air conditioner with filters. And
So they said take it easy. That's their recommendation.
Just take it easy.
Why didn't they say that at the beginning of the pandemic? Or I guess they did. They said leave your job and business and take it easy. But
yeah,
well, that would have been much easier to abide by. Hey, folks, this could be a rough one, this COVID. Why don't you just take it easy?
Take it easy. If that would have been the only thing they told us, that would have been nice. But I didn't leave my job. My job left me.
Mm. Oh,
then,
yeah.
And then COVID hit. And iHeart had this big cutback nationwide cutback in January. COVID hit in March. So I was already
taking it easy.
I was taking it easy when the pandemic hit. I was in no danger of anything happening to me. Well, I was just walking around the USA campus.
Yeah, and you continue to do that. So have you been affected? Yeah, has the Canadian wildfire smoke affected your walking the last couple of days?
No.
No?
I mean, I walked. So when I got home from my meeting, then I got in an hour and 10-minute walk around Spring Hill College and back down the hill. That was yesterday. And so, no, it did not affect my conditioning.
That's great to know. This texter, one of my favorite texters, said, "Wake up, guys. All of the smoke and haze, courtesy of the CLM, Canadian Lives Matter." So thinking there might be something untowardly going on with that.
Okay.
I do think this is cause enough to wage war on Canada, in my opinion. It happened earlier this year. It's happening now. Like, figure it out, Canada. Maybe put a bunch of fans at the border. Blow that smoke northward. Why don't we blow that smoke towards Russia? It's not that far away from Canada.
We, you know, so you're like, Canada's not going to put up a big fight. It'd be like batting practice, you know, just be like, it'd be like America just stretching to get into shape, taking on Canada. But they're sitting right there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're sitting there they're good for the taking. If
sitting Canucks.
Yeah.
Sitting Ducks. this text said, "The Pick'em Challenge reminds me weekly why I don't gamble." Yeah, it reminds me weekly why I shouldn't gamble.
Yeah.
But there you go.
I don't gamble.
No.
Is that weird? Am I one of the few people you know that doesn't gamble?
You're just one of the few people I know. So, yeah, I think most of the people.
Not really quite the socialite your parents have raised.
There's also, and I wanted to get to this because it's now making national news again. I mean, this Kenneth Eugene Smith, he gets more headlines than the commander dog, Biden's dog,
yeah.
Kenneth Eugene Smith, who's been on death row for a long time here in Alabama.
Wasn't his crime in the 90s? Was that long ago?
I think it was 88. Here you
go.
And he's 58 now. Kenneth Eugene Smith, he was sentenced to death. And it says 2022. I thought the sentencing came much earlier than that. But a contract killing back in 1988. A wife, also a grandmother, Elizabeth Sennett. And he being Kenneth Eugene Smith, and his accomplice, John Forrest Parker, stabbed this woman to death. And it was basically, there was a hit put out on her by her preacher husband back then, who the preacher offed himself not long after this all happened. But Kenneth Eugene Smith stuck around and ended up being sentenced to death. And he was one of these back in November of 2022. Remember, there was that terrible stretch where the state of Alabama just couldn't seem to be able to kill anyone on death row. And it wasn't for lack of trying.
No.
They just weren't able to get it done. And that caused all kinds of embarrassment for the state, all kinds of lawsuits. And Smith ends up not being put to death. He there was this whole controversy over whether he should be allowed to die by nitrogen hypoxia, which is this brand new way of putting someone who's on death row, executing them. And now he's suing because he says that it is, what were his exact words? He doesn't want to be
a guinea pig,
for the new form of execution, which I've seen so many people writing about this. It seems like more of the national media, and even looking at UAL.com, that seem to stand up more for prisoners on death row than they do other people in the state who are going through tough times.
I've noticed that. Yeah, I have noticed.
And prisoners.
Some of the writing on AL.com, right?
Man, they're so worried about how things are going in the prisons and whether people on death row are put or executed or not. It seems more like they care about these terrible people than they do the good people in the state. But there ended up being a Wall Street Journal op-ed written, and I think 1819 News even covered this too. Came at the end of last month. Somebody named, and I'm going to totally butcher his last name, Stuart Creque, C-R-E-Q-U-E. And he's talking here about this nitrogen hypoxia and specifically about Kenneth Eugene Smith. Says, Mr. Smith's lawsuit demanded that the state use a different method. Either his lawsuit demanded nitrogen asphyxiation. The 2018 Alabama law approving this method describes it as nitrogen hypoxia, but this guy on the Wall Street Journal says that's not quite right. Hypoxia means reduction of oxygen levels in the blood. Breathing pure nitrogen induces anoxia, a total depletion of blood oxygen. He says news articles often describe nitrogen anoxia as unproven as an effective and painless method of execution. In fact, inert gas anoxia is a well-known cause of death in industrial accidents. According to OSHA, 16 Americans over the last 5 years died in workplace incidents involving nitrogen asphyxiation. In a 2003 safety bulletin, the European Industrial Gas Association warned inhalation of an oxygen-depleted atmosphere can cause a person to immediately lose consciousness with no warning, such as dizziness, and die from asphyxiation. Mm. I think we've all heard of stories like that before. But this writer goes on to say nitrogen anoxia is painless. It requires no drugs, poisons, or medical procedures, and its effects are well understood, consistent, and reliable. Its first symptom is loss of consciousness. You know, this seems, and this writer's making the argument, this is the most humane form of execution if things are done correctly. And I don't always believe that some of these terrible murderers should necessarily go away peacefully. It's mm-hmm. not the way I feel, but it is the way that things have to be done, right? And the think pieces out there about whether they should be using this nitrogen hypoxia, it seems to me, I don't know what the cost would be. It seems like it would be in cheaper, more effective and more humane way to carry out executions, and Alabama could very well be the first state to do it.
Well, they need to get better. They need to execute their executions better, right? Mm-hmm. So you got that going on. Now, when it gets back to this case again, has he flip-flopped on this? I thought that was his request.
So he, remember, he was one of these back in November who was IV'd or stabbed a bunch of times by the needles, and they ended up calling off the procedure.
Right.
And I'm trying to remember exactly how this went through. Smith and his attorneys pivoted from their immediate stance. So their first one, he asked for nitrogen hypoxia.
Right, that's what I thought.
He ends up getting the needle instead. That right. doesn't work. And now they say, all right, we'll go through with the nitrogen hypoxia.
And now he doesn't want to
anoxia, as the Wall Street Journal author saying. He's saying, no, I don't want to be the guinea pig for your experimental method.
Wow.
And these always go through appeals. So often they end up at the Supreme Court. And just so much money to me, and I know a lot of you probably disagree, a waste of money for a waste of life in many, many cases.
Well, there is something about in life you have givers and you have takers. And you have people who produce and you have people who steal. And that guy stole a life, and he was willing to do it. And so I'm not personally very concerned with how he's doing or how it's done. It's 821 with Dan and Dalton. 826, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 1065. Rob Holward from Landyap Mobile, our guest, in just a few minutes.
This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They continue doing fantastic work on both sides of the bay. Trey Bennett has he has his crew in tip-top shape there. Getting rid of junk on both sides of Mobile Bay. They'll be in and out in no time. You can get on with your day, plus free on-site estimates, all-inclusive pricing. That means they don't hit you with surprise charges after the work is all done. And very often when you call, you can get same-day service. They'll call when they're on the way. Plenty of fantastic five-star Google reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That number was at 222, I believe, earlier this week. Now up to 228 five-star Google reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK Mobile. One from Amy. Not that long ago, Andrew and Brandon were amazing, very professional. They arrived promptly, worked efficiently, and went above and beyond. And that seems to be the common theme with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They go above and beyond and leave your place looking better than it was before they came. So set that appointment up today, whether it's your house or your business. You can call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or you can go online and do the same thing, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
827, gentleman was going to talk to us about the death penalty, but he went away during the commercial break. So if you want to call, 251-343-0106.
King of all unnamed texters say, does that mean he gets another final meal? Yeah, how many final meals is this Kenneth Smith going to get? I think he's eating better than I am this year.
Putting on weight.
He's putting on weight with all the final meals. Great question. James says, maybe it's just me, but death row inmates that have been convicted without a doubt should be given a choice to maybe to avoid criticism. Death row inmates been convicted should be given a choice.
Yeah. So given
a choice of how they're executed.
How they're executed. So the Alabama Department of Corrections or whoever is, they avoid criticism,
yeah.
I think is what he's saying.
Well, if they do that, it should be a much larger list of choices, right? There should be like the old ways, firing squad, gallows, go down the line.
Throw me off a bridge.
Yeah, maybe they could make some of those options too.
You could have those
this text,
public executions if you wanted.
Public, oh boy.
I'd have no... I would not be in attendance.
That would maybe help solve some of the crime issues we've seen over the last few decades. This texter says, so go to the store, buy a guinea pig, and let the guinea pig be the guinea pig. Then it's the criminal's turn. Hey, that guinea pig did nothing wrong. I completely disagree. I think Kenneth Smith should be the guinea pig before the guinea pig should be the guinea pig. Philip said, I would want to be the guinea pig for nitrogen hypoxia because if it doesn't work, you get to live. That's... Not a bad strategy there, Philip.
Maybe you have a slight headache.
Dink says carbon monoxide would work cheaper. And plenty of other great texts, 251-343-0106. We've got Rob Holbert on the way,
yep.
Lanyap, our usual Thursday guest. And after we talk with Rob, hopefully we'll have time to get into this. Seems like every day there's another story about either a teaching professional or a doctor or lawyer or police officer who's getting caught with an OnlyFans page. And
so that's their side gig.
Their side gig is
having fans online.
Stripping online for fans.
Huh.
And a crazy story out of Minneapolis, how one of these OnlyFans models got found out by somebody they had pulled over.
How do they not, getting found out, you need to have fans.
Uh-huh.
At some point, somebody's going to connect some dots and say, oh, that's Ernie from down the street.
Well,
right?
Now you have all of these different organizations who are having to check their rules, maybe rewrite the rules as to whether folks are allowed to have side gigs like that.
Yeah, like that, right. 830 FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton. Good morning.
A35 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on a Thursday. We'll be talking with Rob Holbert from Lanyap here in just a minute. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by the local personal injury law firm, Tobias & Comer Law. They've been doing great work over there for decades. Really love everything that Desi, Brian, and Lacey are doing at Tobias & Comer Law. And always bringing our attention to important safety tips. And coming up later this month, I believe it starts about 10 days from now, the Teen Safe Driving Awareness Week. And, we all want our teens and teens around us to be as safe as possible all year round. And that's why it's good to bring attention to it at least once a week. They have some really great resources at TobiasComerLaw.com, including basically a checklist of things you can go down to tell your kids what's important when they're driving these vehicles. Speeding is a major, major factor in teen driving crashes and fatalities. 31% of teen drivers who were involved in fatal crashes in 2020 were speeding. So that's an obvious one. Also, limiting passengers, that helps to keep the distractions to a minimum. And then you have the obvious distractions like texting on cell phones. Let your kids know, especially with Teen Safe Driving Awareness Week coming up in just a couple weeks, how important it is for them to stay safe out there on the road. And you can find out a lot more about Tobias and Comer at tobiascomerlaw.com. And you can always call for a free consultation. They have the number on their site. But if you want to write it down, it's 251-432-5001. Again, you'll find it at tobiascomerlaw.com.
Rob Holbert with Lagniappe Mobile joins us on this Thursday. Good morning, Rob. Are you surviving the Canadian smoke?
I guess so. I'm not sure what the Canadian smoke is. Maybe I'm not in the loop. Well, I don't know.
It's all the rage these days, and it's not a band name, Rob. It's,
I thought it was a band. Yeah. Yeah. It's like Blackberry Smoke and the Canadian Smoke. Yeah. I don't know.
Guess who?
Yes.
The guess who just shows up. They're like, we like smoke too. I don't know.
Yeah, remember, I don't know if you noticed in summer, there was a bunch of Canadian wildfire smoke that worked its way down here.
Oh, yeah. And the haze, yes.
And it's returned. Part two of the Canadian wildfire smoke. Okay. Dan and I had a huge fight about it earlier this week.
Terrible.
I think we're on the same page now.
We are.
Just wanted to make sure.
I was kidding Dalton that he was talking about the Canadian smoke, and I said apparently it's contained in just your yard. But I was driving downtown yesterday, and I was confronted with the haze. So it's something out there.
It was hazy out there last night. I remember looking up and thinking it was a little hazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the answer. Rob, cover story in this week's edition of Lagniappe, which is, of course, on stands now and online now, lagniappemobile.com. Advocates discover autopsy was never included in Baldwin Mann's murder trial. This was written up by you this week, the cover story. What'd you find?
Well, it's really a fascinating story. There's a guy over in Baldwin County. People probably know him, Paul Ripp. He does a podcast and a blog over there, and he's been involved in a lot of things over the years. But in 2003, a man named Hastings was murdered. Brandon Hastings was murdered, and in 2005, a guy named Bubba Lawrence was convicted of his murder. Most of the evidence against him was a guy who was involved in the murder as well. And there really was no actual physical evidence tying Bubba Lawrence to this murder. But he was convicted. He's been sent to prison without parole. He's been in there for 18 years now. Paul Ripp recently found, and he discovered a second autopsy that was done on Brandon Hastings. They dug Hastings up. They exhumed his body and did another autopsy on him. And it was never disclosed to the defense. And so you get into issues whether that's a Brady rule violation, and a lot of people may not be familiar with that, but it is just it's the law that the prosecution has to turn over everything to the defense. Anything that could aid in the defense's an accused person has to be turned over. In this case, what's really kind of fascinating about it is that the district attorney at the time, David Whetstone, the judge at the time, who is now the district attorney, Robert Wilters, those two, they have documents asking for the exhumation and the judge ordering it, Wilters ordering it. And then at the time, the sheriff, who is now Sheriff Hoss Mack, he was a captain at that point, he also was included in all this information. So there were three people in the trial who absolutely knew there had been another autopsy, and it was never mentioned at all. It's a 2,200-page transcript of this trial, and it never comes up. And so, you know, there's some real interesting information about that in terms of, you know, when they went and looked for the original autopsy on this guy, on Hastings, was that he was strangled to death. The person who was the jailhouse snitch, more or less, in a way, came back and said, hey, he was shot. And he said he was shot in the head. But there were never any bullet wounds in the skull or anything like that. So Whetstone came up with a theory that the man was shot directly through the throat, breaking the hyoid bone that is typically broken during a strangulation, and that that was the reason that the pathologist thought that it was strangulation. So it's a really fascinating case in that this second autopsy came up and didn't find any bullet wounds, and it didn't do anything to really help the prosecution. And so, you know, there are those who feel like it got buried.
So and the second autopsy that came after they exhumed the body, that happened previous to sentencing, like pre-trial or during the trial?
It happened pre-trial, yes. It happened pre-trial. It happened shortly. It wasn't that long after Hastings was buried. It was only a few weeks after he was buried. They exhumed his body, and they said that they were doing it that they needed to collect DNA. But they also did another autopsy, and the DNA collection also was never mentioned in the trial. In fact, in trial, they during Hoffmack's testimony, he was asked about how if they were able to get any DNA from Brandon Hastings, and they said it was very difficult, so they had to use mitochondrial DNA to test. And they didn't ever, and that was an opportunity right there to explain what they had done or why it was so hard to find it, or that they had actually had to exhume his body again, but that was not mentioned. It's, you know, it's one of these things where I think when you look at the trial, when you read through it, there really just isn't, there's no blood, there's no fingerprints, there's no murder weapon, there's no bullets. All there is the testimony of a guy who is in jail or is going to jail for life and who's got a deal to testify against somebody else.
Yeah, that was Jarius McNeil. That was Lawrence's friend.
Jarius McNeil, who was his friend. Mm-hmm. And which, you know, that creates a circumstance where you may think, well, you know, perhaps there's some prejudice, on his part, or maybe he's just trying to get a deal for himself. But it looks worse when you have evidence that is not included. And, you know, so there's Paul Ripp and people he's working with are trying to see if they can get Bubba Lawrence a new trial. It's a pretty fascinating story.
How long has his family or the defense known about this? Did this information just come to them too?
It was just discovered. It has just really come out this year. Rip happened upon it by just talking to different people, and someone said something to him during a conversation about the body being exhumed, and he's like, what are you talking about? And so he started trying to look into it and found out that there was, in fact, an 18-page coroner's report with the Baldwin County Coroner's Office, and they had to argue with them over and over to get it, and basically had to threaten a lawsuit to get it. And when it came out, you know, there's this whole report that shows that the body was in fact exhumed. It was sent to the Alabama Department of Forensics. The motion for the exhumation is there. When I interviewed David Whetstone, he said he never asked for that, but there is a document that there's a motion with his signature on it saying he did. Wilters at this point, he's the district attorney now. He was the judge at that point. He said he doesn't think it would have made any difference. The Lawrence's attorney at the time, Willie Huntley, says, yes, it would have made a difference. And it's one of those things where you say, well, it's easy for the prosecution to say it wouldn't have made a difference, so we don't need to show it to you. But it didn't give the defense an opportunity to really look at it.
Interesting. So the idea is that they didn't allow it. And they didn't make it public or for the defense because it would not have advanced their case, right? That's what his attorney says.
Well, that's what some are saying. You know, that's what his attorney says.
Right.
What Rip says. That's what Lawrence's attorney says. You know, that on their side they say, hey, it wouldn't have made any difference. That's sort of the dividing line on this Brady rule.
Right.
Is it saying, well, would it have been exculpatory? Would it have helped the defense? That's a circumstance I think somebody's going to have to look at and decide, you know, because, you know, obviously the prosecutors are saying it didn't make any difference, so we didn't need to give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the district attorney, the former district attorney, saying he never knew about it, which there's a letter from the Department of Forensics sending the findings to him, so I don't know how he couldn't have known about it. Wow. And, of course, the judge had to know about it because he signed the order ordering it. So the judge and the district attorney appeared to have known about it, as did the chief investigator at that time, was Hoss Mack. He was the head of investigations for the sheriff's department before he ran for sheriff. But so, I mean, there were three people in that courtroom who knew about it, and it never came up.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. Another fantastic deep dive there at Lagniappe. You guys are so good at that, going through all these records. I don't know how you have the patience for it, but it really shows when you put out incredible stories like this. There's a lot more in this latest issue of Lagniappe. Don't have a lot of time to get into it, but something interesting that DCNR, that's Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, the commish, Chris Blankenship, basically telling Dale Leash that Pritchard, actually there's more money out there for the Pritchard Water Board to get in order to fix their sewage, all their problems they're having, but they're not applying for grants that are possible.
Yeah, that's, you know, he's saying basically, hey, guys, there's money here, but you're just not even looking for it. You're not even asking for it, which, you know, I guess is about par for the course for the Pritchard Water Board at this point. It just, you know, they seem like they can't get out of their own way, even when there's basically, as he's saying, there's free money here to help you get some of these things repaired, and they're just not doing it. It just goes back to the whole circumstance overall and whether, you know, this board is really capable of control of it.
Stunning amount of incompetence, I think, is what we're witnessing there.
I think it's a good way to say it. Yeah.
Rob, if folks want to sign up, get the Lagniappe online like we do, it's easy, right?
Yeah. All you got to do is go to lagniappemobile.com, get signed up. It's $1 for the first month. It's $6.50 a month after that, which is dirt cheap. You know, it's cheaper than a cup of coffee. So just go on there. You can check it out for the first month. If you don't like it, you cancel it. It only costs you $1 to give it a shot, but we think you will. And there's plenty of news that is not in the paper every week, so you're missing out if you're not a subscriber. And it really helps us keep doing these kinds of reports.
Good stuff. Yeah. Thanks, Rob. We'll check back in a week, okay?
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
That's Rob Holbert, Lagniappe. You'll find him online, lagniappemobile.com. We really appreciate the great work they're doing in those offices. Hey, right now, another chance to win them. A pair of tickets to see Bert Kreischer, absolutely hilarious comedian. He's going to be playing at the Mobile Civic Center Arena, not the theater, the arena, coming up Sunday, October 15th for the Tops Off World Tour. Caller number 4 at 251-343-0106. Caller number 4, a pair of tickets of yours for Bert Kreischer and the Tops Off World Tour. Again, that show Sunday, October 15th, 7 p.m. Tickets still available. We'll give another pair away of this tomorrow, but caller number 4 right now gets a pair of Bert Kreischer tickets. It's going to be awesome. I plan on being there and hope to see you there.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:54.
Congratulations, Vicky, winning a pair of tickets to see Bert Kreischer Sunday, October 15th, Mobile Civic Center. Also earlier in the show, Michael won a pair of tickets to see Yes at the Sanger next Friday. And we have one more pair of Yes tickets and one more pair of Bert Kreischer tickets we'll be giving away tomorrow morning on Mobile Morning, so stay tuned for that.
Big headliner here, U.S. Representative Jerry Carl on the Jeff Poor Show about 9:35. Also, Baldwin County GOP Chairman Patrick McWilliams, and he's going to close it out with Paul DeMarco on the Jeff Poor Show today, beginning at a little after 9 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5.
Let's run through some of these texts and then hopefully get to this OnlyFans story.
Oh, man.
Fire Dog says Canadian smoke part deux. Yeah, I think that's what we need to call this weekend, Canadian wildfire smoke. James says, Guy has been locked up by incompetence, but sadly the prosecutor nor the judge will face consequences. Tim says, let's see here. Hey, guys, I know it will never happen, but wouldn't it be sweet if Trump took Speaker of the House? There were people yesterday online, and people who are online are always correct, right?
Mm, oh, yeah. Saying, right 100% of the time.
saying that Trump is not actually eligible to be Speaker of the House because he's been indicted for a felony. I don't think personally, even if you're a Trump fan, I don't think it would be a good move for Trump to be Speaker of the House if he actually plans on running and winning the candidacy for president. So I think that would maybe make things a little more difficult, and he's already got a pretty tough road on the way. Doesn't have meta says, stunning amount of incompetence. I'm stealing that and using it in reference to the company that I work for. And one more text here before the end of the show.
I'm being given credit for something that I said on the radio?
It. Yeah. Wow. Stunning amount of incompetence.
That hasn't happened since I've moved over here.
That's a hell of a sentence.
I guess it is.
This texter says, update on the traffic situation at Rangeline in Halls Mill. Let's just say it's about as discombobulated as Walmart on Christmas Eve. Who the hell is the traffic engineer around this hellhole? Merrick Garland? See nothing, hear nothing, do nothing. Jesus, quite the text there. I guess it sounded like Kane said there was an accident now at Rangeline and Halls Mill, as yeah. there was earlier. It's been that's been a dangerous situation for 3 days now.
That's been the red flashing light intersection, right? Three mornings in a row.
Rangeline and Halls Mill, and there's certainly quite a bit of traffic that goes through there. So several stories this week about female professionals getting in trouble for having OnlyFans pages.
If you can explain it.
So OnlyFans in this new age of high-speed internet is it's basically work-from-home strippers, right?
Okay.
COVID changed many things, including the stripping game, apparently. And OnlyFans, like people make their own profile, and then they do whatever they do on that profile. It's
the only people that can see them are subscribers.
Subscribers, they're not limited in what they're allowed to do on these profiles on OnlyFans.
Okay.
And they get subscribers. Actually, there's so many people signed up for OnlyFans. Their latest financial report said there are 3.1 million OnlyFans creators, and
it's the performers
at 239 million subscribers. So,
United States, worldwide.
Worldwide.
Okay.
But
good.
But it's about
just in the U.S.
That's insane. Now Minneapolis Police Department is investigating an officer for her side gig as an OnlyFans model during a recent traffic stop. She just happened to pull over a subscriber to her OnlyFans page.
Wow. That's kind of a compromising situation there.
Yeah, a little bit. The unidentified officer is now... And I see what they did here. She's being probed for any policy violations she may have committed running the adult content subscription service while working for the department. So they're looking down their rules, regulations for being a police officer, and seeing whether she broke any of those rules by having this OnlyFans page. I bet there have been 10 stories like this in the last two weeks alone. Yeah.
Teachers, law enforcement people, right?
Lawyers.
8:59, Jeff Ford Show is on the way next on Mobile Mornings and FM Talk 106.5.